I'm encouraged with these prayer meetings and excited about tonight being the first deacon-led prayer meeting. And I appreciate these deacons, appreciate them being faithful and the unity we have there. And excited about this. We want to give plenty of time for our prayer meeting. I want you to find your place in 1 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going away from our book study. Our book studies tonight go on to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I wanted to give you a thought here tonight on prayer. That's why we're here. So I want to be a blessing to you and just give you a little, I almost said quick Bible study, but I'm just going to say a little Bible study, okay? And I ask God to speak to us tonight, and I'm just going to kind of skim this, so to speak. Not planning on getting into too much detail, but just challenging our hearts about prayer right before we go to prayer as a church family. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about these prayer meetings. The Lord is no doubt behind this, and He's excited about this. And no doubt the devil's going to be fighting and all these kind of things. Let's go forward and do something for the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 1. I'm going to read the opening 8 verses, and then I'm just going to be referring to these verses, and we give you several thoughts about prayer. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'm preaching tonight just on the word prayer. Let's pray together. Father, bless. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you come to this letter here, the letter of 1 Timothy, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is instructing and encouraging a young preacher by the name of Timothy in a society that was secular and opposed to the preaching of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and the lifestyle of holiness. You know, even today, we're living in a society that is becoming more and more anti-Christian. A society that says right is wrong and wrong is right. A society where people live as if God were dead or irrelevant. However, before us in this text, we see one area in a Christian's life where he or she can make a difference in a society that's opposed to Christianity. And that one area is the area of prayer. You know, we're eating, drinking, sleeping, rising, breathing God's air, seeing God's sun, walking on God's earth, enjoying God's grace and mercy, yet many never take time to pray to God. You know, for the most part, churches are busy doing visible work. By the way, a church should be busy doing visible work, things that you can see. Stuff like holding meetings or building buildings or out knocking on doors, visible things, you see. But may I say to you that we need to spend more time in our prayer closet communing with the God of heaven. That's the matter of prayer that's the topic here in these opening 8 verses. And I want to remind us before I give you these several things about prayer that just by means of introduction, God does hear prayer. Let me say this to you. Let me ask you this. Where would we be if God didn't hear our prayers? I mean, God hears our prayers. One of his names is Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. God hears prayer. Secondly, God answers prayer. Psalm 99, verse 6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that called upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And let me give you several things tonight about prayer taken directly from these verses as we're approaching our first deacon-led prayer meeting, coming together, praying together. First of all, Roman numeral 1, we see the priority of prayer. Now, this is found in verse number 1 where the Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, Now, it's important that we see the priority placed upon prayer in this verse. It's interesting that as we go through life, things coming and going, good days and bad days, ups and downs, triumphs and trouble, many times we don't pray. We forget to pray. Or we do other things first. Then we try prayer. But we're told here that the first thing we're to do is pray. That's the priority of prayer. That God expects us to do it first. Not second, not last, not in the middle, but first. There's the priority. Secondly, we see the parts of prayer. By the way, don't get in the habit of me preaching this quick on Sundays, all right? Number two, the parts of prayer. You see this in verse number one. He says, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. There's four parts to prayer. May I say this to you? These four parts of the prayer that's commanded here would be four good ways to pray. Now let's just look at this. Number one under this is letter A, supplications. What is that? That is prayer for God's help in time of need. Let me ask you a question. Do you need things? Sure, we all do. When you are supplicating God, you are praying for His help in time of need. You know what this means? It means you recognize your own insufficiency and your need for God's intervention to help you with something. Don't you think that's a good way to pray? God, I need you. I need you to help me with this. That's supplications. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Approach God for His help. That's supplications. We need the Lord's help. That's the first part, supplications. Then secondly, it says in prayers. Now when you look this word prayers up, it carries the idea that we make an appeal to God. It could also mean that we worship and spend time at His feet. That's in that word prayers. So supplications is I need you. I fall short here. I need your help. Prayer is more of worship, adoration, spending time at His feet, making some appeals to Him. This is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, when Mary was found at the feet of Jesus, just spending time with Him. And the Lord said, she has chosen the good part. That's what this word prayer means. It means to take time deliberately, so to speak, to just sit down at His feet and worship and talk to Him. We all need to spend time at the feet of Jesus Christ, friends. And we need to spend time at His feet just worshiping Him, just adoring Him. You realize you can do that in prayer? You know, I told you every now and then, sometimes we're just going to go to God and just thank Him for things He's done for us. That would be part of this. That we go to God, yes, praying, appealing to Him, but really we just want Him to know that we love Him so much we just want to spend some time with Him. That's prayers. Here's the third part, intercessions. What's that mean? This carries the idea of going to God on behalf of somebody else. That's what part of the prayer list is about. Brother Dale Sparks is up in Franklin Woods Hospital. He's doing a little bit better, but he's got a long road to go. We're going to be interceding for him tonight. We're going to be praying for him tonight. Hey, aren't you glad when people call you and say, I prayed for you today. I'm praying for you today. That's part of how God commands His children to pray. Intercessions. You're interceding. You are praying on behalf of somebody else. James 5:16 says, pray one for another. Then notice the last part that he mentions here. He mentions giving of thanks. This carries the idea of just thanking the Lord for His goodness to us and to others. Let me ask you a question. Do you have enough to thank God for? Could you go to God in prayer and not ask Him for anything? Just thank Him for what He's done. You know, sometimes it's good just to pray like that. You know, here's the thing. Dr. John R. Rice wrote a book called Prayer, Asking and Receiving, Asking and Receiving. And I'm saying this, prayer is asking and receiving, but it's not just that. Prayer is also just going to God to say, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. And every now and then it's good, it's right, it's proper to go to God, not to ask for anything, but just to get on our faces and say, thank you. That's part of prayer. That's a part of prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. And watch in the same what? Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should spend time in prayer thanking our Lord for His goodness to us. Number one, the priority of prayer, first of all, do it first. The parts of prayer, supplications, we need you. Prayer, just want to spend time with you. Interceding for people who need God. Giving of thanks, thank you for what you've done for me. Then, third thing we see tonight is we see the people to pray for. This is found in verses 1 and 2. You'll notice here that it says in the latter part of verse number 1, be made, prayers be made for all men. Then he gets specific in verse 2, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Now, when we think about who it is that God wants prayed for, who does God want prayed for on planet Earth? And he says right here, for all men. That means it's the will of God for everybody to have somebody praying for them. We ought to be praying for all men. But specifically, he turns our attention to a specific group of people that God's children should be praying for, and that is kings and those that are in authority. Now, in our terminology, that would be leaders. That would be like the president, kings. Now, he's not a king, but in Bible terminology, he's like a king. He's in authority. God's word is commanding his children, pray for those in authority. Why? That you may lead a quiet and peaceable life, this verse goes on to say. You know, the interesting thing to note is this. At this time, when this letter was being written by the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, you know who was in rule? You know who was ruling? You ever heard the name Nero? Bloody Nero? And according to what I understand, he had his mom and brothers executed just to secure the own throne, his own throne. Had his own mom killed, had his own brothers killed. According to what I've learned about him, he took Christians, dipped their bodies in wax, and set them on fire. And he used the light of their burning bodies for his dinner parties. And God's word says this, pray for him. That's convicting, friends. That's convicting to me. Because we as human beings are so good at criticizing kings and saying that's not right. He's leading in the wrong way. He shouldn't be doing that. And by the way, we may be right. But how much time have you spent in your prayer closet praying for the man instead of criticizing the man? Now this is convicting. Because who's the people we're to pray for? We're to pray for all men, but especially kings. And especially those who are in authority. Even though these kings were ungodly, I'm talking about here, Christians were commanded to pray for them. See, many complain when it's like this, bad, and people against Christians. And listen, but some people like that who complain never pray for them, never ask God to get a hold of their heart, never ask God to speak to them and change their life. On top of this, we should be praying for all those who are placed in authority. I covet your prayers. I'm almost shaking in my shoes, so to speak, trembling in my shoes, so to speak, thinking that God has placed me as the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Friends, let me tell you something. That is an awesome responsibility. And I want you to know something. I can't do this without God's help. And may I say this to you? You can't do what you do without God's help. And I'm coveting, I'm pleading with you, please pray for me, my wife, my children. Please pray for the staff. Pray for the deacons. Pray for anybody in authority. This is what this is commanding. Pray for all those in authority. These are the people to pray for. Number four, the purpose of prayer. Found in verse number two. I'm not going to dwell long here. It says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The word quiet here means free from outward disturbance. The word peaceable means free from inner turmoil. So outward and inner peace. Now get this. I submit to you that as we pray, no matter what we are going through, no matter what we're going through, if you're praying like you should, and if I'm praying like I should, we can do right before God. That's godliness. And do right with man and have quietness in our soul and peace in our heart. You show me somebody, including me, who is at unrest, stirred wrong, agitated, worried, fretting. What's going to happen? Where am I going to go? How are my kids going to grow up? What's happening to my grandkids? All these other kind of, listen, legitimate concerns. I'm not belittling any of that. You show me somebody who's not at peace, and I'll show you somebody who's not at prayer. Amen. That's the way it is. Because God has His way in the midst of turmoil. Even when bloody Nero is ruling, God's word said, you pray for them that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and all honesty. What's the purpose of prayer? In this section, just this section, you know what the purpose is? To have the peace of God. To have quietness in my heart. You ever experienced the peace of God? Yes, amen. You have? Our guarantee is when you're praying. At least prayer was part of it. Now the Word of God's part too now. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just prayer. But prayer is part of it. Then number five, we see the provoking to prayer. Look at verse number three. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior? That we pray for all men, especially kings and those in authority. Right? That's the context. You know what the provoking to prayer is? It pleases God. That's enough, friends. May I say this to you? Life is about pleasing God, not me. Amen tonight? Yes? Then this, right, I mean the Word of God says this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I don't know about you, but if it's good in His sight, I want to get in on it. Amen? And He's saying prayer for all men, especially kings and those in authority, and I'm talking about prayers and supplications and intercessions and giving of thanks. This is good in God's sight. This is acceptable in God's sight. By the way, who is our Savior? Verse number three. That's the provoking. It pleases God. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is His delight. You know what delights God? When the upright ones pray. Just talk to Him. Just talk to Him. Then, let me give you a sixth thing. Man, I'm flying here tonight. That's something. I don't want to get used to this, you know what I mean? Number six, the place of prayer. Where can you pray? Verse 8, look at it. I will therefore that men pray, where? Where's the place? Everywhere. Does God really mean that? Does God really mean you can pray everywhere? Yes, that's what it says. God means what He says. The point here is we can and should pray everywhere we go. Our God is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. Therefore, the place of prayer can be anywhere and everywhere because that's where He is. For instance, Paul and Silas prayed in jail, Acts chapter 16. Jonah prayed inside of a well, Jonah chapter 2. Paul prayed on the beach, Acts 21:5. Jesus prayed on a mountain, Matthew 14. Nehemiah prayed during a conversation, Nehemiah chapter 2. A servant prayed sitting on a well, Genesis chapter 24. The men in a boat prayed on a ship, Jonah chapter 1. The thief prayed on a cross, Luke chapter 23. I'm saying to you, God's not limited by places. You can pray anywhere, anywhere, everywhere that you go. Get in the habit of it. Pray at work, pray at home. Pray in church, pray when you're going home. Pray at school, just apply it anyway. Learn to pray everywhere. Number six, two more and I'm done. Number seven, the purity of in prayer. Look at verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Holy hands. The idea here is when we come to God in prayer, we should come into His presence not defiled by sin, but rather in purity and holiness of life. When He's saying lifting up holy hands, that means your hands are clean. There's nothing filthy on it. There's no dirt on it. You are clean before Him. This is found in Psalm 24, 3 and 4. And then Psalm 66, 18, the Word of God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God wants His children who come to Him to be clean before Him. Now I'm going to go back and touch this on the head here momentarily. Number 8, this is the final thought here. The prohibitions in prayer. He prohibits something here when you pray. Look at verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Here it is. Here's what He prohibits. Without wrath and without doubting. Now get this. Without wrath and without doubting. Here's what He says. It's my will that you pray. It's my will that you pray everywhere you go. It's my will that you pray for every man, especially kings and those in authority. It's my will that you have different parts of prayer, that you have supplications, you have prayers, you have intercessions, you have giving of thanks. This is all my will. It's my will that you lift up holy hands, that you're clean before me. And let me just instruct you a little bit about what I mean by that. You cannot have holy hands with wrath in your heart. You cannot have holy hands with doubt in your heart. Let's look at these two things separately. What is wrath? What's He talking about? The wrath here is anger toward fellow men. Now get this. Let me say that when you pray, make sure there's no anger, there's no wrath towards somebody else in your heart. Mark 11, 25 says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, don't turn there, just let me turn to it. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 23, the Word of God says this, Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. In other words, God's saying this, when you pray, make sure there's no wrath in your heart. Make sure there's nothing as far as anger and wrath towards another fellow man. Get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. Now somebody might say, you don't know what they did to me. You don't understand how bad it's been. I've been dealing with this for years. Jody, you just don't understand how bad he was, how bad she's been, what she's done, what he's done. Here's what I'm saying. Do you need to know God hears you when you pray? Do you want to know that when you pray, God says, wait a minute, he's praying, I want to hear what he says. You say, yeah, who in the right mind doesn't want God to hear their prayers? I want God to hear me when I pray. And God says, here's one thing I prohibit when you pray. Don't do it with wrath in your heart. Don't do it. Now, if I'm reading that right, if you have wrath in your heart towards another man or another lady, you might as well not even pray. Just don't even pray. Because he's not going to hear you. Let me ask you a question. Is there somebody on planet Earth that you are wrathful towards? I'm using a Bible word here, wrath, without wrath. That even sounds bad, doesn't it? Honestly, without wrath. I mean, is there anybody that wrath is in your heart? It's anger, it's wrath, it's vengeful. Listen to me. God said when you pray, don't let that in your heart. By the way, doesn't it make it a little bit more alive when you realize again who Timothy was dealing with? Nero? Somebody who was dipping Christian bodies, if what I've found out is it? Somebody who would dip Christian bodies into wax and light them on fire? kind of brings that a little bit more to life, doesn't it? When God said, when you pray, don't come to me mad with somebody else. Then he prohibits something else, without doubt, without wrath, and without doubting. Doubting is lack of faith in God. When you pray, the Lord wants you to have faith in him. He wants you to believe him. You know one thing that drives me up the wall? I can't take it. Is when somebody doesn't trust what I say. They don't believe me. Now, they have a right. By the way, I don't even remember the last time it happened. So don't think there's something on my mind right now. I'm just saying. Do you like it when somebody says, I don't believe that? You're lying to me. Do you like to be called a liar when you know you're not? Let me ask you a question. When you pray, do you have faith? You believe God's going to hear it? You believe he's going to answer your prayer? Or are you filled with doubt? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're looking at prayer tonight. Get this, when we pray, when you look at all these things, the purity in prayer and the prohibitions, just those two things, here's a three-point outline for you. When you pray, there's to be no sin in your life, no hatred in your heart, and no doubt in your mind. Now that's a good way to pray right there. No sin in your life, no hatred in your heart, no doubt in your mind. Now, I don't know about you, that right there would be three good things to make a matter of prayer. Lord, get sin out of my life. And if there's hatred in my heart, would you forgive me? I'm wrong. Get it out. And Lord, if there's doubt in my mind, help me to have faith in God. Now, what a privilege, as we're coming down to a close now, what a privilege to be able to talk to God. Just talk to God anytime, any place, about anything. God wants us praying always, everywhere, for all people. That's what he wants. So I ask you some questions as we come to a close and start heading towards our prayer groups here. Is prayer the number one priority in your life? Are you seeking God's help, recognizing your own insufficiency? Are you spending time at his feet just to worship him? Are you interceding for others who need God's touch? Are you giving thanks to him? Are you praying for those in authority, even if you disagree with them? Do you have peace and quietness because of your prayer life? Are you pleasing the Lord in your prayers? Are you praying everywhere? Are you pure as you pray? Are you free from anger as you pray? And are you full of faith when you pray? That's all in these verses. These eight verses are jam-packed, friends. And these verses can help our prayer life. And may God help us to be the prayers he wants us to be. Does this make sense tonight? If it doesn't, I'm going to go back and preach the whole thing again. Does it make sense tonight? I thought you'd say yes on that, right? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, bless tonight, I pray. May your will be done. Help us, dear Lord, I ask now. And may you be pleased with everything that's said and done. May the will of God be done, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We're getting prepared for our prayer meeting. But I wonder tonight, is God speaking to your heart about your prayer life? Have you say, Jody, something in that passage spoke to me. It could be something good. But you say, something in that passage that you dealt with tonight, God spoke to me about it, about the matter of prayer. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. Yes, God help you. May the Lord help me too. He speaks to my heart too. May we be better prayers. Now let's prepare ourselves for prayer, shall we? As they begin to play through softly, I wonder, Is somebody here that's never trusted Christ? You've never been saved. You've never truly been born again. Why don't you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. But if you have been saved, maybe God's speaking to you about your prayers. Hey, some of you need to get a real prayer through concerning somebody else, don't you? You really need to be able to intercede for that person. God has their name in your mind and your heart right now. The greatest thing you can do is make sure there's no anger in your heart. Ask God to give you faith, to lift up your hands that are holy and pure and right, and just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. If you want to come to the altar's open. Father, bless it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to come, you're welcome to do this. May God help us with this. You can look this way. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come. He's going to read the missionary letters, and then we'll give our instructions for the prayer meeting, okay?
Some of these prayer requests down. We start with the Holmans who were working in Italy, and they have two different services. They have an Italian service and an English service. They do mention they met a young man 7 years ago, began to minister to him, and it took him that long. He just got saved. So long-term ministry, and let's pray for the Italian service. Have several unsaved people coming who are not saved. In the English-speaking service, they have some saved young men who are beginning to take responsibility, and just pray that God would use those young men to grow and help build that church. The Knickerbockers are in Burkina Faso, and they are in the process of planning a church. They're meeting on Sunday nights, Thursday nights, for Bible study. They have a potential members class now, and basically let's pray that God would help them to get this church planted, get it started. Also, they asked us to pray for continued peace. And it seemed like I saw something in the news recently about conflict there. So there's some danger going on in that area. And then finally, the Abbotts, Carrie and Susan Abbott, they are specifically looking for property or building that would be suitable for a meeting place. They ask us to pray that God would lead them to the right building for them that they could afford and that would meet their needs.
Thank you very much. Now, let's go ahead and put this up here, and let me give you just a few instructions. Deacons, I want you to try to be coming to a close, if at all possible, about 5 minutes after 8. 5 to 10 after, so somewhere around that time. I'm giving you a few extra minutes here, okay? So about 5 or 10 after. You'll notice that we are dividing the church up by zip codes. And this is up here for you here, and you can read this. I hope that what I have matches that. If what I say doesn't match that, then go by that. Don't go by what I say, okay? Brother Edgar Gamble, Brother Joe Shaw, and Brother Ron Smith are all together as a group. Those will be meeting in the auditorium balcony. Just kind of look for your zip code up here, and you'll know where you're going. You will be the Shaw and Brother Smith. And I want that group to pray. So whoever's leading that group, I want that group to pray for the middle section, the Sunday school, the church ministry, and the bus route, okay? The Sunday school, the church ministry, and the bus route. Brother Roten, Brother Brown will be in the auditorium, piano side, back. And I want your group praying for the staff member, the deacon, and the Bible club, okay? So make special note of this. Brother Trent, Brother Scroggs' group will be downstairs in the teen department. I want you praying for the missionaries, and you're praying for laborers to Albania tonight. Brother Mullins, Brother Farmer will be in the blue room. And I want you praying for those in the hospital, the shut-in for this week, and the nursing home for this week. And the gray group, Brother Mosier, Brother Davis, Brother Taylor, Brother Martin, will be in the auditorium front organ side. And I want you praying for the military, the government officials, and also the cancer group that is going tomorrow to Wilcox Hall. That's where they go. They don't go to the entire hospital. They just go to Wilcox Hall there. And I want the Gray Group to be praying for them as they go, that the gospel will find free reign, and that will be good. Okay? Now, before I let you go here, let me remind every prayer group, I want you to pray for revival. That's in the opening flyleaf here. Pray for revival. I'd like for every group to pray for what the New Testament church prayed for. That's on the inside right here. And every group will pray for the back. So every group's praying for three things: revival, what the New Testament church prayed for, and then what's on the back, and then those sections of the prayer sheet that I gave you. And then let me give you some requests to write down. Men, I'll give you till 10 after 8, okay? You don't have to go that long, but I'm extending the time a little bit tonight. Don't worry, because we typically get out at 8:15, so we're still getting out earlier than normal, okay? Write down these names, and if your groups have time at the end to pray for these, please do so, okay? But even if your group doesn't, please write these down and be praying for them throughout the week. One of them is Miss Barbara Chandler. This is Karen Carrick's mother. She has been diagnosed with cancer, and the Carricks are a precious, precious family at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We love them. They are tremendous people, and we want to pray for her mother during this time. Her name is Barbara Chandler, okay? Another one is H.M. Brown. Most of you know him as Hoppy Brown. This is Brother Bobby's father. He's having upcoming hip surgery. That'll be in Asheville next week. So not in the area, but in Asheville. We want to pray for him. Miss Pat Shaw has possible surgery Friday. A lot of it depends on how her body responds and so on. So we're praying for Miss Pat Shaw. Miss Emily Radford is having surgery tomorrow. We want to pray for her. Surgery goes well. And then Miss Pam Pruitt, as she has learned that she has more cancer, we want to hold her up at this time. Okay? Everybody comfortable with where you're going? Everybody know where you're going here? Okay? Just look for your zip code, all of this. This is where you're going. You are dismissed, okay? You're dismissed. Ushers, you've got about 20 to 25 minutes, so you can take your time. You do not have to last that long. I'll meet with the deacons at around 8:10 in the blue room. 8:10 in the blue room, all deacons, please. Thank you very much.